Hey guys, just a quick note before we begin that the show may contain spoilers and adult language, but that's just because we know how to have a good time. Stick around, you'll be glad you did.
You are here for me to enlighten you.
You ever act like this again, you're barred for life.
It's just vile and base.
It's kind of embarrassing.
If you know your lines, then you can forget them.
Oh, I get it. It's very clever.
Hello, peoples, and welcome to Esoterica Cinema, the podcast where we take films and discuss the hell out of them. My name is Ryan Siebold, coming at you with another five-minute mini-review that I like to call I Got Five on It. I gotta stop doing that on camera. Today's film was requested by one of our subscribers, Megan. Thank you for the recommendation. So we're heading back to 1989 for Atomic Blonde. No, not that 1989 Atomic Blonde. Yeah, that one. Now this film is about Lorraine, a spy for MI6 that was sent to Germany during the fall of the Berlin Wall. She uses all of the lethal skills in her tool bag of ass-kickery as she gets tangled up in a game of cat and mouse and who's who while trying to seek out a list containing the world spy's secret identities. Or, at least I think that's what it was about. I'll get to that in a minute. This film is directed by David Leitch, who was part of the directing team that gave us the first John Wick. It stars Charlize Theron as the titular blonde spy, James McAvoy, Sophia Boutella, John Goodman, and Toby Jones. It was made on a budget of $30 million, which is shocking to me for how big this film felt. Now, high level, I enjoyed this film, but it's not without its flaws. Or, really, its flaw. But again, we'll get to that in a second. Charlize captivates as her character finds herself in sticky situation after sticky situation, and she has to fight her way out of each using anything she can find at arm's length. It's such a fun romp, with the action, stunts, and huge set pieces on full display throughout here. This should come as no surprise, as David Leitch got his start as a stunt performer slash coordinator for years, going all the way back to the movie Blade with Wesley Snipes. So Leitch and his whole crew knew what they were doing in the action department, and it shows here. Leitch and his longtime cinematography partner Jonathan Sella capture the fight scenes and car chases perfectly here. I felt like I was a part of the action, never felt lost at any time by quick edits, especially with how much handheld camera work there was, and they even raised the bar by hiding edits at times, making some of the most intense scenes, like the pretty famous staircase scene, feel like one long shot. The interiors were all vibrant 80s neon synthwave, and I love that stuff. Back to the action, I also enjoyed that nobody felt overpowered in this film. You'd often see Lorraine looking exhausted on the ground before forcing herself to get back up and prepare for the next foe or challenge. Everyone feels like they're taking a proper beating here. Charlize went through fight training 4 days a week for 8 weeks to prepare, and get all the choreography down, and she really sells it. The action and cool factor are what we're here for, and everyone involved knows this because as I went to research this film for this review, that's pretty much all you could find info about. The problem is that it tried to be a spy movie whodunit. There's this list of spy names that I mentioned at the top of the show that is more or less the MacGuffin or the thing everyone is after in the movie, and it changes hands, motivates people to switch sides, and becomes a real ball and shell game that is so perplexing and convoluted. I was pretty confused leaving Act 1, figuring Act 2 would clear things up. Nope. Screw you, pal. On to Act 3. It's also worth mentioning that in the first minutes of the film, it's introduced that the previous spy to try to get the list was a lover of Lorraine's, kind of setting that up as like an emotional motive of sorts for her. But then it just kind of never brings it up again. It's rare you ever learn anything about or feel anything for these characters. To this day, I still don't know whose side McAvoy's character was on or what was going on with Sophia Boutella. And it's no fault of theirs. They acted their asses off and were so great on screen. The film is anchored in cutbacks to an interrogation of Lorraine as she tells this story to Toby Jones and John Goodman's characters. And this really does nothing but stall this film out and waste stellar actors like Jones and Goodman. You do get the gist by the end, enough to make it quite enjoyable. But like, this could have been a really amazing experience instead of just a good one. Either skinny up the plot or explain it a little more so I'm in on the twists and turns. But I found myself just having to let it go. And I shouldn't have to make a judgment call like that with a movie like this. But speaking of good stuff, I can't leave without talking about the music. The film was scored by the legendary Tyler Bates, but you'd barely know it as it gets overshadowed by some sweet, sweet 80s tunes. Acts like The Clash, Flock of Seagulls, Susie and the Banshees, Till Tuesday, David Bowie. I could go on and on, but they carry the beats of this film perfectly. Sometimes the music is diegetic, playing in a nightclub or car stereo. Other times it's just for effect. It cuts in and out depending on the action happening, ramping up to a fever pitch when needed. Hell, there's even an amazing several-minute fight sequence put to George Michael's father figure off his album Faith. You remember Faith, The song covered by Limp Bizkit from Jacksonville, Florida. A band that, if you closed your eyes and try to imagine a group from Jacksonville, Florida... Yep, there they are. Limp Bizkit from Jacksonville, Florida. Oh, Jacksonville. You know, occasionally I'm reminded of just how great George Michael was, and that scene was one of those times. My three adjectives to describe this film are adrenaline-soaked, because it was. Stubborn, because I just kept wanting to know what was happening or care about these characters more.
All right, then, keep your secrets.
And Spuds McKenzie, for all of its fun 80s cool factor. I'm giving this one 3.5 stars, which is such a bummer, because it could have easily been bumped up to 4, 4.25 stars, with a little more story work. But whatever. It's a fun-ass movie regardless, though. Go see it. I really, really enjoyed this one. Well, that's it for me. Catch us next week on another episode of Esoterica Cinema. And for everyone out there, just know that I will always love you.
Till the end of time.